Hannah calls it a state of becoming, but most people would probably call it chaos. The floor and workspaces are littered with leaves, stems, and thorns that haven't made it into the giant waste bins by the tables. Flowers and greenery explode out of buckets on every flat surface that isn't covered in piles of more greens and more flowers, all stripped of their lower leaves and thorns. The room is a riot of scarlet, green, ivory, and dusty pink. In front of me sit 25 empty vases, their open mouths crisscrossed with grids of thin tape. When we're finished, the empty grids will be transformed into a lush carpet of red and cream-colored roses and white and gold Chinese lilies, accented with clusters of pink, pepperberries, eucalyptus leaves, and ivy. Perfect for tomorrow's mid-December wedding. Perfect for the beginning of somebody's happily ever after. That is, if you believe in that kind of thing. As I trim the thorns off a rose stem, Hannah quizzes me. "Fate," my aunt says. "Flax," I reply, and she nods. "Self-worth," she says. "White roses," another nod.
"Reconciliation."
Star of Bethlehem?
"Nice,"
Hannah beams at me.
"Great job, CJ."
Most kids get quizzed on stuff like state capitals or French vocabulary words or the elements on the periodic table. I get quizzed on the language of flowers. Hannah claims that by using it in the arrangements she makes for her clients, she can help fulfill their heart's desires. I have serious doubts about the scientific validity of her claim, but she says that if I want to be her apprentice at the shop, I have to know my flowers. So, here we are. By here, I mean the workroom of Heart's Desire, the flower shop that we've had in our family since the 1930s. This guy named Robert McAllister pressured my great-grandfather into selling it for almost nothing when the government threw Japanese Americans into internment camps during World War II. But after years of struggle and hardship, my grandfather eventually bought it back because, as Mom and Hannah both like to say, Katsuyamas never quit. Katsuyamas never quit. It's practically our family motto. The McAllisters have never quit either. In fact, they've never quit so much that the family are now billionaires. My high school bears their name, as does the hospital I was born in and the library where I borrow books. It's not exactly Capulets and Montagues or anything, but I can't say that I don't feel kind of resentful and weird about the whole situation. Mom is a partner at McAllister Venture Capital, so that tells you how much she cares about the family sort of feud. Not at all. Hannah, on the other hand, despises the McAllisters. Her second choice for the Katsuyama family motto would probably be, "We hate the McAllisters." But I'll come back to all that later. As Hannah and Mom also like to say, we need to be here now. Now, the phone rings, and even though we've just closed up for the night, Hannah answers it. You never know what a difference that last-minute bouquet might make in a person's life, she always says. It might be just the thing that a grieving widow needs to brighten her evening. Or it might lead to a romantic reconciliation and then a baby. Or, if you want to be pragmatic about it, it could lead to another sale and possibly even a regular customer. Something we could definitely use these days. Turns out it's one guy who wants one thing, a boutonniere. He says he's right around the corner and he'll be here in a couple of minutes. Doesn't sound like a life-altering possibility to me, but I'm not running the store.